Tim Cook to speak at All Things D, Final Cut Pro 10 updated, Starbucks a hit, Rim blocks sideloading for consumers, and more iPhone unlocking news. It's Wednesday, April 11th, 2012, and this is iWake. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWake. Kicking off today's show is the exciting news that Tim Cook, Apple's CEO, will be interviewed at the All Things D conference next month. Steve Jobs is well known for his appearances and interviews at these conferences, including a very special combined interview with Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. This will be Tim Cook's first appearance and interview at All Things D, and I can't wait for what he has to say. This will be the D conference number 10. In other news, our reports that the FCC is working with the four big U.S. carriers, that's T-Mobile, Sprint, AT&T, and Verizon, to compile and maintain a list of stolen phones, not just iPhones, but all phones, a database for this. This would block phones that are stolen from being reactivated on networks and should hopefully track down stolen phones and return them to their rightful owners. FCC chairman, or I guess chairman said, Julius Genachowski said the main reason for doing this is to devalue stolen phones. If these stolen phones are less valuable, then there is less reason for people to actually steal them. Carriers plan to create their own databases in the next 6 months and integrate them over the course of 12 months. A person familiar with the initiative told the publication that regional carriers will likely join the database within the next 2 years. So we're looking at a year rollout for the four big ones, and then in the next 2 years, we'll have all the regional carriers. So pretty cool. Overall, great news. My biggest fear here would be getting a device flagged as stolen when it's not. Say an eBay purchase trying to get their device back, or a Craigslist purchase trying to get their device back after a sale has been made. And that would be my only worry, but I don't think there's too much to worry about that as of yet, but just something I wanted to just keep my eye on as this develops. Now on to some app news. To kick it off, have you ever wondered what it's like to work for Evernote? Well, CEO Phil Libin revealed some cool things in a recent interview. According to him, the CEO of Evernote, if you work at Evernote, you get professional house cleaning twice a month. We thought that, you know, Evernote thought that we needed to get spouses and significant others on our side. He wants to pressure them to be, you know, for Evernote, to be, you know, have support in the household for them to work at Evernote through things like house cleaning. So instead of the wife or husband saying, perhaps you should work elsewhere because it's, you know, not good on our family life, they'll think differently because of this. Now, vacation time is where it gets really cool. According to Phil, we recently changed our vacation policy to give people unlimited vacation so they can take as much time as they want as long as they get their job done. If you want to take time off, talk to your team, but we're still measuring you on the same thing, which is, did you accomplish something great? Frankly, we want to treat employees like adults, and we don't want to be in the office to seem like a punishment. We always try to ask whether a particular policy exists because it's a default piece of corporate stupidity that everyone expects you to have, or does it actually help you accomplish something? And very often you realize that you don't really know why you're doing it this way, so we just stop doing it. Consider this. If you work at Google, you get 15 days in your first year of employment, rising to 20 days by year 4 and 25 days by your 6th year. At Evernote, you have as much time as you want as long as you're getting your job done. From these two things alone, it sounds pretty sweet to work for this little startup called Evernote, which is becoming bigger and bigger. In other app news are three minor updates to apps I use every day and apps that I, quite frankly, have fallen in love with over the past couple months here, or should I say the past month. Apple's pushed out updates to Final Cut Pro 10, Motion 5, and Compressor 4. Final Cut Pro 10 version 10.0.4 includes overall stability improvements, performance improvements, and compatibility. Improvements are as follows. Improved image quality and responsiveness of broadcast monitoring with compatible third-party PCI Express card devices and Thunderbolt I/O devices. Improved performance of multicam sync and editing, adds language support for simplified Chinese, and adds a shared option for 1080p video on compatible iOS devices like the iPad 3 and the new Apple TV. Motion 5.0.3 improves overall stability and performance, including improved loading time for projects, improved performance of text editing in the Canvas, and the list goes on and on for around six or seven more notable items. Compressor 4.0.3 adds functionality and improves overall performance, including the ability to run Compressor as an encoding node on a Mac without a monitor, say a headless Mac Mini. Fixes an issue when exporting from a logged from when you're logged in as an Open Directory user, and improves performance when encoding MP4 and AVI files. I am super excited by these little updates, these minor updates, especially those to Final Cut Pro 10. I use multicam editing multiple times a day, and any improvements to that aspect of Final Cut Pro is a welcome addition, welcome improvement. Multicam is already kick butt on Final Cut Pro 10, and I can't wait to play with this even better version. So as I edit today's show, I'll get a taste of what this new multicam is all about, this enhanced multicam, I should say. The updates are out now and available to owners of the app, or if you want to purchase them yourself, Final Cut Pro 10 runs $300, with the other two apps running $50 a piece. Now into some utilities that those that still work with paper and deal with PDFs may enjoy. So first off is a new app called Scanner Pro 4. It's an update to the iPhone Scanner app that Readdle created many years ago. The app works by taking a picture of a page and it smartly converting it to a cool-looking scan of something you'd use a flatbed scanner for. The $7 app is worth a look, and if you're in need of a scanning app, this is the one to get. As I just said, this is for the new iPad. I'm not sure if I said that, but this is for the new iPad, and it is universal, so work on the iPhone as well. You will need the new iPad rather than the iPad 2 because of the camera. The old iPad had a crappy camera, and that just simply won't work with this kind of app. Now on to the latest update to Adobe's PDF Reader for iOS. Version 10.2.0 includes a ton of awesome new features, including easy markup of PDF content with sticky notes, freehand drawing, or highlights, strike through, or underlining. You can add comments anywhere in your PDF with sticky notes. You can fill out PDF forms and use the new ink signature tool to sign any PDF document using just your finger. You can send PDF to others using electronic signing with Adobe's EchoSign, and performance and memory fixes for the new iPad. With all of this added functionality, perhaps it's time for a name change from Adobe Reader to Adobe PDF or something that implies more than simply reading, as you can now mark this thing up and add things to your PDF. This is a huge update available now, and best of all, Adobe Reader is still a free app. Now on to the Starbucks app. It's been updated, or not been updated, but basically what's been happening here is it's been wildly successful. The Starbucks app for Android and iOS has been used over 42 million times to place orders all across the world. And since just 4 months ago, 15 million of those transactions have taken place. So basically the Starbucks app is being used quite a bit and basically a big hit. And this is just with it's using it through Wi-Fi and placing orders through that. Imagine if Starbucks was able to use NFC or some related technology built into the next generation iPhone. App payments would take off even more. It's pretty cool news that we've had this many transactions, 42 million, and you know, of that, 15 million in the past 4 months. So very cool news that I just wanted to mention the day. And this is just the beginning of mobile app payments of what I'm sure will be many, many more. Last up in app news today is the fact that Instagram for Android has now passed over 5 million downloads and shows no signs of slowing down, even with those bitter people swearing off of Instagram because of Facebook. The growth rate is incredible. If you remember back when Instagram launched for iOS, it took 7 months for iOS users to hit the 5 million mark. Even more immensely popular was Draw Something. Draw Something is a wild hit, as many know, but it took 3.5 weeks to surpass the 5 million download mark. So great job, Instagram. Amazing numbers that this has all happened within pretty much a week's time. So good job with their Android rollout. For those that want to learn more about Instagram, I did an Instagram special yesterday that you might want to take a listen to or watch of. Now on to some competitor watch news. To begin is RIM and the removal of side-loading apps. The initial story was this. RIM is removing the ability to sideload apps to the BlackBerry Playbook in the future update of the OS, meaning users will now have to download and install apps through BlackBerry App World. The reason is to prevent piracy, citing figures from unknown sources saying that over a quarter of Android apps are downloaded illegally and calling Google Play a chaotic cesspool. The story was clarified by All Things D by saying, RIM will retain sideloading as a developer feature and will add some anti-piracy measures to it that will prevent its abuse by consumers. I'm not sure how they will do that, but best of luck to them. Those that want to sideload apps probably have enough wherewithal to figure it out, but just some interesting news with BlackBerry trying to make their tablet more restrictive, which is something I'm not sure will help them succeed. It's kind of been a missed product so far. Last up in competitor watch is Sony cutting 10,000 jobs, about 6% of its global workforce. This comes with the goal of trying to return Sony to profitability after being in the red for 4 years. It's sad to see these jobs being cut, but it's good to see Sony trying to figure it out and learn how to be profitable once again. They were once a great company, and now they're kind of just floating around there, and hopefully they can turn this company around into something that makes a profit. Closing out the show today, and let's just close it out with some iPhone unlocking news. So AT&T, as you've heard, is unlocking iPhones now, and I just wanted to do a couple stories on what's going on with this, how my update's going along with all of this unlocking and everything like that. So first up is a statement from T-Mobile. According to T-Mobile, today we have more than 1 million unlocked iPhones running on our network. T-Mobile currently offers micro-SIMs for customers who already have a GSM phone they want to use on T-Mobile, including an iPhone. In order to set up an unlocked iPhone on T-Mobile's network, customers simply need to purchase a micro-SIM card and select a T-Mobile value plan that suits their needs. T-Mobile's value plans enable customers to bring their own smartphone, such as an iPhone, to save money. For example, T-Mobile's value family plan with unlimited talk, text, and data, with 2 gigabytes of that being high speed, is just $50 per line for 2 lines. So in addition, we will continue to deliver more value to consumers. So this is the cool part. This is straight from T-Mobile. Over the next year, we're going to modernize and expand our 4G network. Beginning this year, we will introduce HSPA Plus service in our 1900 megahertz PCS spectrum. When we do this, our 4G network will be compatible with a broader range of devices, including the iPhone. From this statement, it sounds like T-Mobile is excited by having more and more unlocked iPhones on their network. Even more exciting is the fact that T-Mobile is making their HSPA Plus network iPhone compliant. T-Mobile is one of my favorite carriers, and it is awesome to see that there is a way to officially unlock iPhones now from AT&T. Another iPhone unlocking news is the fact that AT&T is unlocking iPhones in use by deployed military personnel. According to MacRumors, AT&T is quietly unlocking iPhones for U.S. service members still under contract with the carrier. Carriers are required by federal law to suspend service without penalty for deployed military personnel upon presentation of their military orders. But AT&T is not required to unlock their phones. But instead, AT&T is choosing to do this on their own accord. AT&T declined the comment, but MacRumors has independently confirmed that AT&T is unlocking phones for service members upon request. Deployed soldiers, airmen, sailors, and Marines should contact AT&T customer service to get more information about having their iPhones unlocked. So, great job, AT&T. So, last up today, let's close it out with an update to my experience with unlocking my iPhones. So I decided to give the text-based chat support a try, as my phone support failed short and did not unlock 3 of my iPhones. So I hopped on the text-based chat, and AT&T managed to initiate the unlocking process for 3 of my phones. When I tried to do this over the phone, AT&T denied unlocks of these devices because they were not associated with my account, even though they were all contract-fulfilled devices. So my advice is this: go with the text-based chat to get your unlock started. I did have about a 40-minute wait to get the chat started with somebody, but the person helping me did a stellar job. The support rep basically just looked up my IMEI numbers to verify they were eligible and then sent in 3 separate requests to get them unlocked. She told me to expect this would be completed within 24 to 48 hours and that I will receive an email when it is completed. Overall, a great experience getting these now four iPhones unlocked. And once again, go with the text-based chat. The voice support is really, really terrible. I'll give you guys an update in the next few days as I get the unlock codes from Apple, as this step is just the first step with AT&T, and the last step is where I actually get the devices unlocked, and that comes from Apple, I'm pretty sure. So hopefully all goes well with the actual unlock process. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like the show, head on over to iTunes, and I hope you like the show, so I hope you head over to iTunes, and leave a review of the audio version of this show. Just search for iWake, and you'll find it. Also, head on over to youtube.com/TCHATEN. That is where the video version of this show lives, as well as many other videos that I produce. Go over there, subscribe to my YouTube channel, and watch the video version. Also, and finally, subscribe to iWake Again. iWake Again is my Saturday show. So every Saturday, I do a different show, an interview show, where I talk to people in the Apple world about what's going on in the Apple world. So if you want to see the show continue on, I need your funding. I need your support, financial support. This show is $10 a month through iWake Again. That's where you get a show every Saturday, and that's where you also pay for the Monday through Friday show that goes to most people for free. So if you feel there is a value from watching or listening to this show, please, please, please head on over to iWakePodcast.com/again. That's iWakePodcast.com/again to sign up for iWake Again. With that said, I'll see you guys or talk to you guys tomorrow morning. Join me tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Aloha.